Like talking now?
Such a rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Funny, you should ask.
Absolutely correct. Both of you.
Where every question gets a funny answer.
Iguanas can only reproduce 1 month out of the year.
That's because they suffer from erectile dysfunction.
Funny You Should Ask is a half-hour television series that puts the funny back into the game show.
Song. Farrell just seems to be someone of integrity who doesn't sell the rights to this yeah. to really anyone. 98.5 of Sports Up, it's Toucher and Rich. There is a show that has come on that comes on like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. 2 and 2:30. It's got back to back airings. Someone in town says thumbs up to the old Funny You Should Ask show. And what this show is, it's a Byron Allen production. He's a guy who produces the most forgettable shows, ones you've never heard of and couldn't name, but yet he's worth $500 million. He's the guy who found a niche, and it was, listen, television stations need to fill their programming between the 8 o'clock primetime stuff and, like, the morning shows. And so let's just give them garbage for overnight. Let's give them garbage for in the middle of the day. And Funny You Should Ask fills that void. You know, it's one of those shows like The Chew that the only time that you ever actually see it is if you're getting, like, your tire changed or you're at, like, some place where you're sitting and waiting and the TV's on while your car's getting worked on and the volume's not up. And you're like, all right, nobody's watching this. Yet they have a mandatory television in the waiting room right next to the really bad coffee to the right. So, Funny You Should Ask, the way it's set up is that there is a panel of five or six, like, D-list comedians, and those people are, well, I say D-list, there are superstars like Jack Hay from 227, Louis Anderson.
I like Louis Anderson.
Bobby Lee.
Bobby
Lee.
Oh, wow.
He made this episode.
Wow.
Okay. Comedic genius Bobby Lee.
So Bobby Lee, you've got the guy who, the Bill Engvall from the Redneck Comedy Tour.
Oh, he is a delight.
Who else is in that? I'm looking at a picture. Tom Arnold shows up every once in a while. Yeah. Howie Mandel. And is that Bill, Caroline Ray, Bill Bellamy? So it's like a who's
Bill
who of
Bellamy.
Who.
Oh, man.
So here's how the game works. Is that what happens on this show is that they bring up a topic and each one of them makes up a funny joke about said topic, and then you just have to guess whether or not it's correct, and you win like a whopping $300, I believe, might be the grand prize.
Okay.
So here's how it's going to work is that we are going to hear the setup. Mike is going to play it for us. I haven't heard any of these. He's going to tell us what comedian it was, okay. So we might be able to guess what type of punchline it would be, and mm-hmm. You and I have to predict, and you, John. My back is to you. Just yeah.
I'm aware of why that is.
This is like my Jeopardy moment, because you sit and watch Jeopardy. It's like, I could go on the show, and I've listened to you and Fred and Wallach do this, and I'm like, yeah. I would have won. I would have won that morning.
You told
us. Here's your chance.
Okay. Next time you do this, you said, I want in.
Okay.
So here we
go.
So here's how it's going to work. Mike, you tell us the comedian, play the setup, and then we will have to guess what the punchline is.
All right. And today's comedians are Bobby Lee, John Lovitz, Sherry Shepherd.
John Lovitz, the worst guest in the history of Toucher and Rhea.
Yeah. Yes. Caroline Rhea.
Caroline Rhea.
And yeah. Louis Anderson is in the front row.
Louis Anderson.
Hey, Louis.
Lovely.
So okay. Let's go to...
That was just his introduction?
Oh, yeah. He's
Hello.
Just in the front row.
Yeah, my dad hates me. Yeah.
So let's start with John Lovitz, who pretty much has the same joke for every single one of them.
Okay.
But let's start with him.
In Taiwan, it is not uncommon to hire strippers to dance at funerals.
I hate my life.
This is John Lovitz. So.
Okay, John Lovitz. It is... Okay. It is not uncommon for strippers to dance at
funerals. Gives new meaning to the word stiff.
No. Looks like someone's trying to raise the dead.
Got laid in the coffin.
In Taiwan, it is not uncommon to hire strippers to dance at funerals.
Now that's called raising the dead.
Impressive.
I went too dirty.
Right. You have to realize this is like a middle of the day. Right. You know, so bad.
Wow. And once again,
you were genuinely pissed that he beat you to it.
Well,
you were genuinely upset about that.
This was my mistake. My joke was better. It wasn't.
Yes.
And it was a horrible joke. It's very hacky.
Yeah.
And as I've heard on when you guys played this before, that's not a joke.
Yeah, right.
What he said, that's why I call Ray. What do you.
No,
what?
None of these.
That's
are
not
jokes.
Even really
this,
a joke.
Not, this, yeah. this is not about what's a good joke. It's about what
I
are these guys
but
going to say.
You would think they would at least come up with a bad joke, but some right. of them aren't even jokes.
No, right, some of them are not. Okay,
now that you know the parameters, you're going to be better. Is that what you're saying?
Do you get 2 points for nailing it word to word, word for word?
Do you want 2 points?
You get a point. You get a point. You get a point. That's it.
All right. Let's see. Okay. All right. Let's go to who's the next comedian.
All right. Let's go to John Lovitz again.
Okay.
Henry Winkler of Happy Days fame was duped out of $3 million by the infamous Bernie Madoff.
I got one. Talk about not so happy days.
Oh, I almost swore because that's it. That's the answer.
Okay. And you can say that too. I mean, that's you can do that.
Just to be a sport, I'll say. That stock got an A+ rating.
I can't beat either one of those. That's pretty good.
That's too clever.
Go with one of those two. That I can't tell.
Right.
Henry Winkler of Happy Days fame was duped out of $3 million by the infamous Bernie Madoff.
Yes, it was a Fonzi scheme.
Oh, damn it. I should have thought of that. As somebody who prides himself on also being a hack, Fred Toucher said, I'm like, hey, I'm a hack, too. Mm. That's a pretty good hacky
That's
joke.
Good.
That's decent.
I should have... Because he said... When I heard it being played back, he said Happy Days in the joke. You can't use the name twice. You can't
there
throw
are
it back.
There are rules on this show?
I think Byron Allen would have stepped in and said, there's no way. Like, because, you know, he writes a lot of these jokes anyway. So, just because you think John Lovitz is actually trying?
No, no one is trying on the show. I've watched many episodes now.
Fonzi schemes. I should have gotten that. All right, who's the next comedian?
All right, let's go to Louis Anderson in the front row.
Okay, good. All right.
True or false? Last year, 4 people were denied permits to climb Mount Everest because they weighed over 300 pounds.
Oh. All right. Mount Everest because they weighed 300
over,
pounds.
Because they weighed over 300 pounds.
Something like...
So I got denied climbing...
Yeah, right. I got denied at the drive-thru or something like that, or...
Yeah, if you get denied for being 300, he's gonna say, well, there goes my trip to Tibet. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's right. That's it. Did he say Mount Everest? Well, there goes my trip to Tibet. That's it.
Something about, hey, I'm too fat to climb a mountain.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, that would be great if that was the answer.
I'm just too fat to climb a mountain.
That's right. All right,
If he said that, I would legitimately think that was a funny joke.
Yeah.
I'm too fat to do that anyway.
True or false? Last year, 4 people were denied permits to climb Mount Everest because they weighed over 300 pounds.
That's why I keep putting it off.
That's close enough. There goes my trip. I can't go.
I'll take a half a point.
I'll give you half a point for that, because that was the joke reworded.
It's not even a joke, though. I think Louis Anderson is funny.
No, you were just smitten by a guy being nice to you.
No,
at the Super Bowl when he sat next to you. That is why.
I like baskets.
You did that with Wahlberg, too.
I like baskets.
You know that the Wahlberg's
like baskets?
I like the show Baskets.
See, I've actually never seen it. So I can't talk
one episode, it's horrible.
You didn't like Twin Peaks, though, so I'm not going to judge your taste in anything TV.
I don't like Twin Peaks at all. No.
I think I'm the only one who liked the new Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's correct.
So
I can't
judge you. All right, so was it 1 point for me, a half point for Hardy, nothing for John?
I don't get originality for that last one, even though I was wrong?
No.
Okay,
no,
fine.
No, of course not. There's no originality points here.
Originality goes against you if you're coming up with original.
All right, I'm minus one then. That's fine.
All right, let's go. Who's the next comedian?
All right, let's head back to John Lovitz.
Okay.
Cindy Crawford was once barred from a United Airlines flight because her skirt was too short.
Oh, okay. Something about the red eye.
Oh, no, not a chance. That's
kind of
good,
a joke?
But not a chance.
Is that too good of a joke? All right. Something about
Cindy Crawford denied access to a flight because her skirt was too short.
What about
can't be anything about the flaps, wings?
The stewardess is like, what's another term for like a flight? Standby. I was on standby the entire.
I would have loved to have made a boarding pass at her.
Okay, that is bad enough to be a John Lovitz joke. Oh, man, I'm brain farting on this one.
I actually have one.
Okay, all right.
I might have one here. Let's see if this passes. Oh. Yeah, her outfit entered the Mile High Club. All right, let's go to John Lovitz.
Hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have liftoff.
All right.
That's actually
pretty good.
All right.
Cindy Crawford was once barred from a United Airlines flight because her skirt was too short.
Yeah, it caused the tray tables to get stuck in the upright position.
Okay. All right. It's pretty much the same joke every time.
Yeah.
It's just
right.
A different
form. I'm aroused.
Yeah.
Right. I'm physically aroused. It's John Lovitz's joke.
But it helps when you can get into the character voice like you just did.
Yeah, see, I have to say that. Like, I'm not even trying.
Oh, man. Okay. We got time for one more.
Let's go to.
One more.
Okay, let's go to Louis.
Okay, yeah, we got
back to Louis.
So it's the score. I have 1 point. You have a half point, Hardy. You could take it with this,
right? And or Wallet could tie you for the win.
Yep,
which is not going to happen.
Oscar-winning actor Robert De Niro gained 60 pounds for which 1980s movie?
Robert De Niro gained 60 pounds for which 1980s movie? The Louis Anderson Story.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. For what 1980s movie? I Ate Gilbert Grape.
Jeez,
I don't know. I can't think of a joke bad enough.
I can't believe. Okay. 1980s movie.
Wallach, you got to come up with something.
Okay. What's a De Niro movie from the 80s?
All right.
Raging Bull, but like a play on Raging Bull.
No, it's
it's not Goodfellas. It's not the Something Father.
No, you might say that people around him, the food was untouchable.
Oh.
That's going to be my guess.
The food was untouchable.
But that's the best
that.
I could. With something to do with that. Yeah, he was untouchable on set.
Yeah, but that doesn't really make sense.
Do any of these jokes really make sense?
No.
And I can't think of a De Niro 80s movie other than Raging Bull. It's not going to be...
Well, I mean, The Untouchables is a good one.
Don't get stuck on the 80s. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Oh. Goodfellas, Cape Fear, The Godfather...
I'm going back to the Louis Anderson Story.
Okay,
it's the easiest one.
Let's do it.
For the win. Yeah.
Oscar-winning actor Robert De Niro gained 60 pounds for which 1980s movie?
Eat the Parents.
Jesus.
God.
Fairness. This game is so bad that it's hard to do
now. Listen, we're going to... The sunshine will hit a dog's ass every once in a while.
They didn't hit the first one.
Hey, all I know is that I'm walking away a champ today.
Yeah, congratulations.
That
was so good. This is going to stop me from ever trying out for Jeopardy again because it proves. Just because you're good at it at home means you'll...
Doesn't matter.
Mean anything once you actually get put on the spot.
By the way, I'm getting some actually decent jokes coming in here. But ones I can't read about the Cindy Crawford one. I can't. Thank you very much, and I appreciate that very much. Raging Full. No, see that. That's not bad. Not bad. Takeout Taxi Driver. Maybe. All right, we'll be right back after the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by South Shore Bank. More than likely at 9 o'clock. He's supposed to join us. Scheduled to join us at 9. Hardy's in for Fred. I'm sorry.
I'm still too mad about the so you're happy game.
The
What's
fact
it
that
called?
We, yeah, it's a joke and everyone's joking.
Well, funny you should ask.
Funny you should ask, that's right. There's really no excuse for us not to have gotten the Fonzie scheme one. I mean, I'm ashamed. Like, that one was
I know,
right
but I just replied to that guy on Twitter. It's like, I would have beat you. I hate Fonzie scheme and eat the parents. I'm like, yeah, I would have gotten him at home, too. I'm telling you, it's like Jeopardy.
Sure, once you're sitting there and the pressure's on.
A lot easier sitting down at in your own chair, drinking your coffee, no pressure.
Maybe we try round two tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
A redemption?
Yes.
A redemption tour? Okay.
Yes.
We'll do that.
Sorry, listen, Lockhart. Lockhart's going to have to watch more funny shit ass.
He doesn't mind. It's a laugh riot. So I'm sorry. We were going to talk about something else, but real quick, I have to take this call. John Jr., what's up? John, you're on Toucher and Rich. He's gone. Okay. John, if you're there, call back. He had an interesting story that we might need to discuss if he calls back. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's definitely something that caught my attention. So, congratulations, you hooked me. So we're gonna have Danny Ainge on, and the Boston Celtics. We spoke about this yesterday about which team do you feel is trending in the right direction, which team is trending in the wrong direction. Who do you fit? And it's not the who do you think will win a championship first. That's been overplayed, overdone.
Just trending
the right way. Like your gut feeling about how things are going within the organization and in the immediate future. Who's looking the brightest right now? We talked about how with the Patriots, there's still a bunch of question marks as far as the future of Rob Gronkowski is concerned. We don't know if this is for real, whether he's going to leave for the WWE. I truly believe, I agree with Burt Breer. He said it's 50-50. I think it's a situation where Rob Gronkowski is leveraging for more money. And if he doesn't get the more money, he has absolutely no problem cutting ties and making $5 to $6 million with the WWE next year, as well as making movies and endorsements and things of the like. And he doesn't have to get his skull cracked in on a weekly basis. I 100% believe that is his plan. He can't lose either way. And then there's questions, obviously, about what's going on behind the scenes. We know all of that. There's still a lot of, I mean, what are they going to do with the running backs? There's a lot of free agency coming. You know, there's a lot of questions to be answered with wide receiver. We don't know how any of that's going to shake out. The other thing is that you've got the Bruins going in, I think, the right direction. No one can argue that this has been an exciting team to watch. They seem to have their stuff together. It's been consistent ever since they got healthy. They don't, like, tear off a bunch of wins and then go through a big slump. When they lose one, they come back. I mean, in their slumps are one-game slumps, it seems like, this season. And you know the talent is there. The young guys, it's still pretty amazing the level they're playing at. But when you see Patrice Bergeron playing as well as he is and Marchand, it's not a shock that they're playing some of the best hockey that they've played in their careers. The Zdeno Chara one's a little shocking. I can't believe that he's gone back and essentially, like, he's, as I said, he's like the fountain of youth, this guy. He's playing like he's almost 5 to 10 years younger than he has been. But then you got the Celtics, and the Celtics are a team that even when they were playing well on that streak, John can back me up on this, I still had my doubts because they weren't destroying anybody. They don't blow out teams. They always seem to get behind by a ton and have to claw their way back. And that'll catch up with to you for a while. The fact that a team has that in them to go a quarter or two and just completely have your foot off the gas says more to me than it does that they have it in them to claw back and fight their way back.
But if you're talking about who's trending in the right direction, the Patriots, you're right. They have issues, and you just look at the sheer age and time put in between both Brady and Belichick. You have to feel that you're closer to the end than anything else. So trending, no, I can't say that they're going to be the top trending team. The Bruins are playing abnormally well, like to the point where you can't even explain it. They're not quite the Vegas Golden Knights, who are, by the way, tied for points right now with the Bruins.
Yeah.
You know, they're tied for second in the league.
And it's no surprise the Vegas favors them, and there's a lot of Vegas money in a Vegas team.
But, you know, you just have to because of the way that team has played, but it's like you can't quite wrap your head around why. Got some good young players, but you've also got the aging core. You've got Tuukka Rask, who's played really well, but we've seen him go back and forth. So I think the Bruins are trending in the right direction, but I think the Celtics are on a better trend because they've played so well, and yes, they've fallen behind in games and had to come back, and you may not love that kind of victory, but they've done it all without Gordon Hayward. So if you're talking about the way the team is trending right now, between Brad Stevens, Kyrie Irving, I don't know what's going to happen with Marcus Smart, and he's proven himself to be a much more valuable commodity than previously. I want to
sure. Bench is very thin without him.
Well, sure. And I've always liked him. I supported him. Mm-hmm. You're going back to college, that guy had it coming, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at where this team is going, you have to consider, oh, wait a second. They're going to have Gordon Hayward back next year.
Well, all the young players are going to be a year older. I mean, you're talking about how frustrating it is to watch the Celtics struggle to beat teams. Look at the talent on paper that the Celtics have without Gordon Hayward as compared to some of the East contenders.
I'm not talking about, you know, years down the line.
Yes, you are. That's what you started it by talking about the Patriots. You don't know who's going to be back.
No, I said immediately.
Trending.
Yeah, within the year. Within the year. So okay. For them.
That's it. It's okay. Celtics. They're going to have Gordon Hayward back. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They're going to be
all
going to
be a year older. Yep.
Marcus Smart may not be here, which is problematic for this team.
He's not going to be here next year.
Okay, well, Wallach just reported he's not going to be here next year.
Well, apparently, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, aren't they saying that he'd be worth $14 million a year?
If that's his price, there's no way the Celtics pay
that. Now, granted, I'm with you, Hardy. Over the last few weeks, you realize just how valuable this guy is. I mean, the one thing you can never take away from Marcus Smart is that if they're up by 30, he's still diving for that ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to try to rip it out of your hands, and there's not a ton of that. I mean, the Celtics are a very skilled team, but they're not an angry team unless Marcus Smart is out there on the floor. And you need a maniac. Now, what he did off the court is ridiculous. And I know that he yesterday talked about how, I mean, he was almost gone for the entire season.
Yep.
If he would just gotten a little bit deeper, I know the doctor told me he should play the lottery.
It was actually between two tendons in his hand. If it cuts either one, he's out.
And now that he's back, I don't mind that. And we told Danny Ainge that. He said, I like having, every good team should have a borderline nut job on there. Draymond Green was the guy out for the Golden State.
Yep.
And now Marcus Smart, he's been that guy.
Yeah, anyone he covers, he makes uncomfortable.
Yep, yep.
And it may not stop him, may not shut him down. No one likes having Marcus Smart guard him, be out there playing defense against him or whatever rotations you're doing. No, I think guys don't want to be on the court when Marcus Smart is out there, and that's a very valuable aspect.
And the other part of it is he guards multiple players. In today's day and age of positionless basketball, you need guards to cover small forwards and sometimes power forwards, and Smart can do that, unlike a lot of other people.
When we come back, right after the headlines, the reason I was saying all this about the Celtics is that there was some news yesterday that not only made me feel better about the Celtics, but like if you're a Celtics fan, this is something, this is a legit little nugget that was tossed out there yesterday in the news in an interview that should make you really think about what this team might end up being in the near future. A possible big move that I think is more and more likely to happen because of some audio that I heard yesterday. So we will get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Hardy's in for Fred this morning, and as you heard Wallach saying throughout the entirety of the show so far, it looks like Marcus Smart is going to be returning tomorrow night when they take on the Pistons, right?
Detroit.
Yeah, in Detroit.
Yep.
So you're finally going to have him back. You sure as hell needed him. You missed him. I mean, it was the amount of points that they gave up was astronomical. I think that wasn't that Cavs game the most they had given up all season long?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was.
All right. And that was embarrassing. That one, and then they just continued. Ever since they've been back from London, they haven't been the same team, and it's been tough to watch. But with Marcus Smart back, at least you know that you're going to have somebody diving for balls, someone in your face, someone pissing the other team off a little bit. When he's on the court, it makes things a little bit more difficult for everyone. Even if you're not the guy being covered, he's just that guy that plays with just enough edge that's borderline dirty that makes your life uncomfortable if you're an opposing team. Now, that's one thing I obviously feel good about with the team during the final stretch of the season. I like it that he's back. On top of that, you still have your ace up your sleeve. There is a chance that possibly Gordon Hayward could come back before the end of the season. I know he's going to travel with the team starting next month. We've heard this. There's no expectations, but in my opinion, he's going to come back. Danny Ainge, once again, will be on with us at 9 o'clock. But we spoke with Brian Scalabrine 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And Scal is a realist about everything. Charles Barkley came out and said that he believes there's only two contenders in the East. He believes that it's the Cavaliers, and he believes that it's the Raptors. Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit there and argue with him. Those are two very good teams. And the whole time, even when the Cavaliers were poor and they didn't make all of those moves, I still thought they were going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. You can't count out a team with LeBron, no matter how bad everyone else around him is. We've learned this. And the Raptors have been excellent, too. So those three are the ones. They're your competitors in the East. But Scal said something that made my ears perk up. And Scal talks to a lot of people, obviously, around the team. He still thinks that the chance of Anthony Davis coming to the Celtics this offseason is a big one. Like, he thinks that this is something that not only, and there's been reports leaking out for the past couple of months, that this is something that the Celtics, they still covet the guy. They're still trying to figure out a way to make it happen. Anthony Davis has been saying all the right things. And now that DeMarcus Cousins is gone, it's been an interesting situation now with the Pelicans. Yesterday, he sat down with Rachel Nichols on that show, The Jump, which is pretty good. I think Paul Pierce does a very good job on there. And Anthony Davis was asked about something that Kevin Garnett had said about how when he came to the Celtics, he wished he would have asked to leave earlier because your youth is wasted. And at some point,
Leave Minnesota earlier to go to the Celtics.
And that was something that Kevin Garnett said, and Anthony Davis was asked about that.
When you hear that, it makes you think. I'm not going to lie. It makes you think. So you wonder if you followed in that same path. But then again, you're like, this year could be the year. Like, you don't know. You know, so you just got to take it year by year and just see. You know, see where the team is going, what direction they want to go to, and just see where they're headed.
It makes you think. And for the first time, and so the other thing that he falls on is that maybe this year's the year. Well, it's not. With DeMarcus Cousins gone, This is not the year. So you're sitting there right now looking at a situation with the Pelicans that isn't anywhere near what you thought it was going to be because of injury, and now you're hearing guys like Kevin Garnett and all these people talking to you saying that you can't waste your youth. And for the first time, he's going, well, you know what? It makes you think. It makes you consider a few things.
You say it's the first time. Legit, that's the first time he's ever been asked about New Orleans and leaving the Pelicans. Every single time he's been asked, no, I want to win a championship here. We're building something here. I like it here. I like the organization. It's the first time he's ever been asked where he said anything but that.
But nope, don't want to hear it. Nope, this is it. And yesterday, it seems like you got a little bit of crack in the armor there. Like, for the very first time, he's publicly saying, maybe there's something there. And maybe it's you got swept up in the whole All-Star weekend. Maybe Kyrie was whispering in your ear. Maybe you're looking around and seeing all these guys who are going to be making it to the playoffs and probably are going to go along, and you say, I want to be part of this. And you're looking around saying, I'm better than a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and it's a realization that, it's an excellent point, Rich, that if you're better than all these guys, why aren't I there? Oh, because you need to be on a team with three guys.
Yep.
We've got two here. Now, okay, so even going forward, no matter what happens, there's got to be three.
Yep.
And we've seen that time and time again. There's got to be three legit players on your team, in your starting five, in order to really, really be a contender. They don't have that.
That's the thing. Even with Cousins healthy, and Davis said all the right things. If Boogie was here, I hate calling him that, but I'm just quoting
here.
If Boogie was here, we'd be a contender for the NBA Finals. No,
he's not there.
Him there, they were a 7 or an 8 seed in the East.
Yep.
So even if Cousins
Rondo
is healthy,
right.
Rondo's not your third.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's the thing. They were quick out in the playoffs. Talk to Garnett. He was a quick out in the playoffs for a lot of his career in Minnesota. I think they made the Western Conference Finals once the entire time he was there. The two of them are following on the exact same path. And Davis needs to get out of there. New Orleans isn't going to succeed in the Western Conference. We have Golden State going forward, and Houston, as good as they are, he needs a quicker path to the finals. He needs to come to Boston. And the Celtics, among all other teams, have the assets to go get him.
And that's
want to, they really can.
Right.
If Ainge really wants Davis, he can pay or even overpay to get him.
With Gordon Hayward on this team, you're a team that can legitimately make it to the finals. You can make it to the finals.
Yep.
And you got a puncher's chance against a team like Golden State.
Well, Davis is a very generational player. That's someone that Golden State does not have.
But with Anthony Davis on this team, if you got Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and you've got Gordon Hayward, And maybe, I don't know, they'd have to obviously...
Well, they're going to have to give one or two of Brown and Tatum. They're going to have to give one or both of them
fine
to get Davis.
Fine. Fine. Who would have a problem with that?
Yep. No one.
Generational player?
No one.
Take anyone except for... You know what? Take anyone but Kyrie. I have to be honest. I'd trade Gordon Hayward in a second to get Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is one of the top five best players in the league.
Have
we
Kyrie,
agree, right?
Hayward, and Davis.
You have those three?
Those are the three. Yes.
That's a championship team.
You're making a run. Yes.
Making a run. You're a championship team. That is a team that you look at them versus Golden State.
Depends on who the bench players are. You have a puncher's chance against Golden State.
I think right now you have a puncher's chance. I think that is an even matchup if you put that team up against Golden State.
I would say it depends on the ancillary players around them, because that's the thing that Golden State's really good at. They have those stars, but they also have great role players also.
Sure. Absolutely. Terry Rozier's turned into one.
Well,
he's been fun to watch.
He's been fun to watch.
You poo-pooed my secondary score.
Let's see where we are.
We're proud of him.
In a couple of months with Terry Rozier.
All right, we'll talk to Danny Ainge hopefully in about 15 minutes and get his input on everything that's been going on, including the return of Marcus Smart and the return of basketball in general. Thank goodness. I'm going to get some drunken recaps pretty soon in the bag. All right, we'll get to that so much more in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.95 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy filling in this morning for Fred. He'll be back next week. I'm sure having a delightful time on his Disney cruise.
Is he literally on a cruise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think his parents brought the family there. And Fred's whole thing is like, they watch your kids. You can kind of sit there and
first 3 days at sea. No stop, just first 3 days on a boat in the water.
Steaming.
Yeah, which island was he going to first?
Oh, isn't it the made-up one?
I don't know.
There's one.
Kokomo?
It's like Castaway.
Kokomo, right. On his way to Kokomo.
That's right.
He and Stamos.
Yeah, flipping the drinks. So I think there's one, like a Disney island, one that they created because they didn't want any riffraff hanging out, you know, where next to their people dressed like Mickey Mouse and everything. I think it's called like Castaway Key.
Okay.
So it's like a fake island.
Right.
And then I don't know where else they go. But yeah, so that's what he is right now. But speaking of vacations, so this is brought up a couple times a year to me. And people ask me about it, even though it's you who told me about this, Hardy.
Hmm.
Several years ago, obviously you're someone who is very familiar with Vegas. You used to work out there in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And how many times a year do you go back?
I would say once a year. And I'm not pulling one over on my wife. She's hip to what I'm doing. But I started staggering them by like a couple months early.
So it's like every 9 months.
Yeah, like every 9 to 10 months. So after like 10 years, I'll get like a bonus trip out of it.
Sure.
So let's say a little more frequent than once a year.
Okay, I'm finally going back this summer. It's been a while. I haven't been able to do that. So I'm going to go back. But I used to go all the time. Like I used to go at least once a year.
I did go twice last year. I went in the spring and then I went again for a...
You went to a Vegas Knights game, right?
I went to the...
Or Golden Knights.
Yeah, the Bruins. I went to see Red Wings nights and then Bruins nights Friday and Sunday.
Did you see Gosher when you were out there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
The first night I was in town, we hooked up and had dinner. It was great.
He was very nice. He was like, hey, if you're ever in town for a thing, you know, listen, I'm giving tickets and I don't know anybody out here. So if you ever come out here, you know, let me know in advance and I'll see if I can give you my tickets.
Everybody contact Dave Gosher for tickets.
You have to know you, obviously, like the way he knows us. But you taught me something a couple years ago that I never knew about, and I get asked about it a lot. As a matter of fact, just this past week, I had a bunch of people tweeting me about it, and that is the $20 sandwich, which I had no idea existed. But, Hardy, can you just briefly explain what that is?
People try and be sly about it. Essentially, when you're checking into a hotel without saying anything, you hand over your driver's license, credit card, and a $20 bill. Some people like fold it up and literally sandwich it in between the license and credit card. I don't make a big thing about it. When I check in, I just hand over a 20, and I've done it for years, and sometimes it results in you getting a little nicer room, higher floor. Sometimes, as in my last trip, it was in a totally different tower. Other times I've gotten a suite out of it.
Yep.
Just if it's there. Now, a couple of times ago when I did it, the woman at Caesars said, as I handed over, she's like, checking in. I'm like, yeah, I am. Here you go. And she kind of did a, Mr. Poole, we are now required to inform guests that, we can only accept gratuities based upon level of service and that there can be no expectation of blah, blah, blah. And I looked at her and I said, Teresa, I said, I used to live here and I kind of understand how things work. This money is just for you for showing up to work today. I understand how this town, believe me, I don't expect anything out of you. You're phenomenal.
And what'd you get?
And she likes mine. She goes, thank you. I feel so embarrassed having to say that. I'm like, I don't want anything.
And what'd you get? What'd you get?
Oh, I got into the Augustus Tower because I only booked into the, you know, whatever, the Forum Shop. But it's like, yeah, I got like 23rd floor, like overlooking the Bellagio fountains.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like great.
I'm at about 800. So it's like there's been almost every time I've gone except for once in the past several years did I get an upgrade. As a matter of fact, there's one place, it really depends on what casino you're in, and there's a great website that I saw called frontdesktip.com where they have people like submit whether they tried it and what percentage do people get an upgrade at either hotel. Caesar's Palace apparently is a good one. The one that didn't let me do it was the Venetian. The Venetian, they have a strict no tipping policy. We are not going to upgrade you. It's a pain in the ass.
Garbage.
But when I went to one time to Treasure Island, I had booked like a basic room and they put me in a corner of the hallway suite with the two open doors. It had two bedrooms, even though it was just me, and like a really nice toilet. Like you could play hockey in this bathroom. And there was a bottle of champagne that somebody brought up for me, which was crazy. And that was from $20. And the thing that sucked was that when I went to the Venetian and I tried to pull it off, was the one time that I tried to go high roller on them. And I put a 50 in there.
No.
Because I wanted to see like what they would do. And they said no. They said no.
Well, what's that conversation like? The infrequent time where it doesn't work, did they just give the money back to you? Or how does that work?
See, I'm kind of... What happened was he suggested that I have it back. And I thought I was going to be able to do what you did and be like, no, man, just keep it. It's for you. I know you're working hard. Because, by the way, people don't know this. And I'm amazed at how like awful human beings can be when they're checking into hotels. If you just smile and you're nice... And you just politely ask, hey, do you have any upgrades available? A lot of times you'll get it.
Yeah.
But in Vegas, if there's money involved too, and you just put a $20 bill in there, I mean, the chances of you getting a decent upgrade are pretty damn high. Like, I've gotten it done at the Planet Hollywood. I've gotten it done at the Aria before. I've gotten it done at Mirage. I had it done at the Wynn. And the Wynn's like a nice casino. And even there, like $20... You know, these people aren't making a ton of money. They're like, okay, yeah, absolutely. We'll bring you up.
But it works in a variety of places, and it takes a while to get used to it. And you go out to restaurants, like not even on the strip, just like around there, and you show up, and we're trying to go out for dinner. It's like, yeah, we're like on an hour wait tonight. Do you have a reservation? I'm like, oh, an hour. One of my pockets said, any chance we could get in and say 20? And hand over the 20. They're like, yeah, I think we can probably get you something open up.
Everything in Vegas revolves around tipping.
Yes.
Everything.
Valet's full. Oh, you know, I'm just running in for like, you know, a quick thing. I just leave it over there.
Yeah.
It can be fixed very quickly. A 5 or a 10 used to be able to. It's a minimum of a 20.
Minimum of 20. And by the way, I got bit in the ass one time. So there was one year I went out for March Madness and we were at the Wynn. And they have a sports book there and there's, you know, a bunch of tables and everything. And those are usually reserved way in advance. But I was with my two brothers and my father. So we all pulled together some money and I think it was like I had like $200. So $50 each. And I went there early and I gave the woman $200 and she gave us a nice seat. And we sat the entire time watching a full day of basketball, March Madness. It was paradise. The next year I tried that with my friends and we went to Caesars and the guy was like, yeah, I'll get you a table. So it's packed. He brings us to this empty table right there at the Sportsbook at Caesars. And they're like, I told you guys, I told you. 15 minutes later, that same a-hole that I just gave the money to had like a group of people with him. And he goes, sir, I don't think you're supposed to be here right now. I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, this table is reserved. What is your name? And I looked at him like, hang on, a-hole. You just sat me here. I didn't say that, though. And I'm like, my name's Rich. And he goes, yeah, this is reserved for Mr. Harrison. Oh. And I went, you've got to be kidding. I gave that guy the biggest ache. I should have just said, I'm not leaving. You sat me here. But for some reason, I was a coward. And so I ended up booting out. Don't get the money back. There goes $200 out of our pocket. So it'll bite you in the ass sometimes.
Yeah.